Our June series here, Faith That Overcomes. You know, it says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. You know, there's a lot of forces in this world that are arrayed against the church, that are arrayed against believers, that are arrayed against right, that are arrayed against values, godly values. But you know what? Faith is the victory over every one of them. Faith is the victory that overcomes. Did Jesus overcome the world? The devil? Death? The grave? How much? He never lost one battle. He never retreated from one opportunity to show God's strength and God's power. This is the way we ought to be. That's the example we have. Faith that overcomes. Say that. I have overcoming faith living in me. Oh, open up your mouth and say it. So turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to get ready for our confession here this morning. But hey, if you're going to receive the Word of God, then you need to know what to expect from the Word of God. How's that for a brilliant piece of logic? I mean, if somebody's given to you, I mean, what is it? What can I expect from it? What'll it do for me? Well, Peter called the word incorruptible seed. Jesus compared the word of God to seed, your words to seed. But the Bible, the word of God, is the incorruptible seed of the word of God, seed of the word. So it's necessary to understand this is what we're looking for. Life, not death. Victory, not defeat. Strength, not weakness. Amen. Joy, not sadness. Come on, man. Throw those tears out the window. You got to really get with the program here. Get in line with joy. Amen.
Amen.
Love, faith, and hope. Faith, hope, and love. Praise God. So let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases Him. This word is God speaking to me. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Amen. Say, I have
the same spirit of faith,
according as it is written. Not according to how you feel, not according to what people say, not according to anything else. But according as it is written, I have believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. He's quoting King David in Psalm 116:10. He says, I believe, therefore I have spoken. What did Daniel speak? Well, look back at verse 8. And it says, for you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. You know what? You've got to put the past behind you. You came out of Pharaoh's house of bondage. You got to mark that day. Amen?
Amen?
Oh, we've been given the spirit of adoption. We have been raised up together with Christ and seated together with Him in heavenly places, the Bible says. Amen? Have you been raised up?
Yes.
Have you been given a new life?
Yes.
Are you a new creation?
Yes.
Oh, that's who you are. You know how the devil sees you? The same way Peter, James, and John saw Jesus on that Mount of Transfiguration. Can you imagine the panic going through Satan's heart on the day of Pentecost? What he saw? That's you. That's who you are. As He is, the Bible says, so are we in this world. Oh, you're in His image and likeness. I'm looking at you and you're going, yeah. I've heard this before. No, you haven't heard this before. If you have that attitude, you're going to miss what I'm about to say. Amen. He has delivered your soul from death. Now, I'm not talking about physical death. I'm talking about the separation from God, that there is this gulf between. That's what the biblical definition of death is, separation from God. Separation from God. And eternal death is eternal separation from God. And you don't want that. God has done everything that he can to make it possible for you to shun hell and get into heaven. In fact, it's easier than your next words. You believe it in your heart and you say it with your mouth. Amen. Amen. He's delivered your eyes from tears and your feet from falling. You don't have to stumble around because Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk in darkness, but he'll have the light of life. Praise God. You don't have to have confusion, stumbling, tears and all this. You don't have to have that. I'm talking. I'm saying, look, call things which be not as though they were. If you're in a bad situation and it's causing you sadness, depression, oppression, whatever, start turning your words around. Start giving God something to work with. He is the high priest of your confession. He is the apostle and high priest. That means he is a sent one to mediate what you say. And if you're complete, and if you're just repeating the voice of sadness and sorrow and death, that's the voice of Satan. Don't repeat that. Repeat the words of God for life, peace, and power. Yes. Amen. Take control of that situation by the words that you speak, like Brother Capps used to say. You know, he pulled in the driveway once, and he had this mulberry tree, I guess. And it dropped these things on the driveway and just made a mess. Have you ever seen those things? Yeah. Man, they're terrible. And they stain. You can't even wash them out. And he said, that tree didn't die because it was old. I spoke to that tree, and guess what? It died. That's the example we have in Jesus. But I'm telling you, Charles Capps has a ton. Even fishing. When he went fishing, he'd take authority over the lake. These guys were in the boat, and he said, and they were talking and everything. Charles, I want to meditate on God and fish. So he said, drop me off over here, and you guys can go do what you want. So he did, and he got like this 8-pound big hog of a largemouth bass. And they said, what did you catch him on? He says, Mark 11:23. He has a lot of fishing stories too. One time a trout, they were in the stream and he had this really large trout on the line and the line broke. This is a big trout. And the line broke, and he said, spit, and it was his favorite lure, his favorite trout lure. And he said, spit that thing out in the name of Jesus. And he went down about a half a mile down the river, and there it was, lying right on the shore, that lure. You can have what you say. If you take God at his word and you believe what he says about you, then you are who he says you are, not how you feel. Right. Your situation is how you say it is, not how you feel about it, or not what anybody else says about it. Our country needs your words.
Yes.
Our cities need your words. Yes. Our school boards need your words. Yes. Our children need your words. They're depending on it. They are the next. You are pregnant with life and power in your next words that you need to speak over your kids. Amen. Blessing. Blessing over your kids. Blessing. Not over them, to them.
Amen.
Speak blessing to them. Oh, what a blessing they are too. Those kids up here with those precious prayers and desires in their heart for a future with their dad. Oh, praise God. Oh, faith that overcomes is faith that speaks. You know, the devil doesn't care what you believe as long as you stay quiet about it.
Right.
Once you start open up your mouth and start speaking his words, he is the apostle and high priest at the right hand of God who mediates those words and is sent to make them good. Your words. So, well, I'm going by what is written. Say, well, you know, I've tried to. Don't go by your experience. Don't go by that. Go by the word. Don't go by the failures of the past. They're gone. So is the past. And you can't get it back. But you can make the future brand new. Amen. With your words. Words. Believe it in your heart. Fill your heart with the word of God. Meditate on the word of God. Let the word of God have first and final say. Let it be your only priority. It was with the Apostle Paul. It was with Peter. It was with Jesus. The word of God. That's all he did. Speak the word. That's how he defeated Satan in the wilderness. And Satan is still reeling, shaking over that defeat. All you got to do is walk in the victory that Jesus got for you. Oh, unless you think he failed. Somehow he's weaker than the devil. You know, we got to stop that, folks, Christians, talking about the supremacy of Satan over their situation and giving him credit for way too much. He is not that smart. He is not. Keith Moore shared this one time. He says, you know, there was one day the devil said, this period of time, the devil just started suggesting to him, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. Now, he had a history in his family of men that died young, early. Some murdered and so forth. And so, and the devil was reminding him of that. He says, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. And one day the Spirit of God broke through and said, ask him this. Ask him if he's going to do, why hasn't he done it already? He said, that's right. Out of here with your lies. I am going to live long on the earth. With long life, he will satisfy me. And I break that curse in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. You see, Mark 11:23 says, verily. That means verily. It means amen, amen. In heaven and in earth, let it be so. This is spiritual law. Verily, I say unto you that whosoever, are you a whosoever? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have what he says. Not what he prays, O Father, move the mountain. No, you speak to it. Remove this sickness. You speak to it. You have it. You have it. You already have it. It has already been delegated to you. It is yours. Take authority over that husband. Take authority over that wife. Take authority over the situation, over your marriage, over everything. Take authority over it. How do you do that? Speak God's blessing into it. Release his authority into it. He said, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and preach, speak, teach. The door to the supernatural power of God swings on two hinges, believing and speaking. Believing and speaking. This is not hard. Believing and speaking. But yet the church has made a huge, big production out of it. And it's not. You believe it in your heart. You say it with your mouth. Amen. Period. Nobody said, you can't get saved without speaking words. What does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you shall confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Salvation is an all-inclusive word in the Old and New Testament. It means saved, healed, delivered, prosperity, sound, preservation, protection, all divine stuff. Divine, and confession is made unto healing. Confession is made unto protection. It's all there. But we've been speaking the words of the enemy too long, and those words are ensnared. It says we are ensnared by the words of our mouth. We are taken and we are held by the words of our mouth. You got to realize this. It is, you can't just let any old words fly out of your mouth and expect them. Lori and I were in the yard this week, and in our gardens, and just picking weeds. And you know, I had a thought. I didn't even say it, but God listens to your thoughts. He loves you, and He wants to be involved, and He wants to influence you. But and I thought this, Lord, I'm going to be seeing weeds in my sleep. You know, there's a lot of them. And they grow fast. As soon as I said that, he said, you ought to see it from my side. And I knew exactly what he was saying. Our words. When you repeat the seeds, the words of the devil, those are seeds that produce weeds. Amen?
Amen.
And they will choke off. This is what he says. The cares of this life choke the word of God so that it becomes of no effect. Mark 4:16. Write that down. The cares of this life, lust of other things and the deceitfulness of thinking that riches can satisfy you. No, you are an eternal spirit. And there's nothing monetary or anything physical in this world that can satisfy an eternal spirit. You can't satisfy yourself with the riches of this world. If you think you can, you're deceived. All right. I will get to my message sometime today. But God has given us powerful promises in the Bible concerning fellowship, the power of agreement, the power of unity, and our common faith. I didn't, you know, all week I was struggling with these things. Not these things, but I wasn't hearing from God about any kind of a message here. And I knew that the subject of our message was going to be faith for heavenly relationships. I mean, we need that, don't we? Have you ever had a relationship that was not so heavenly? I speak from experience myself, but I was probably the worst of the bunch and at a time. But thank God for salvation. Thank God for Jesus that he got a hold of me when I was 24 years old. On my 24th birthday, I was born again. And, whoa. But I will let you know when I do reach perfection. I haven't gotten there yet. How about you? Okay. When we were created by God, we were created for relationships. We were created for fellowship, first of all with Him. Because you don't know who you are until you know who He is. Because you're made in His image and likeness. We were created to have a relationship and fellowship with our spouse. We were created to have fellowship and relationship with our children. And our extended family. Also with our work, the work of our hands. That's important. You know, we were made to work. Work is a good thing. It's a good thing, right, Dwight? He's had a ton of it lately. And, you know, rejoice in it. Just magnify God in it. Receive it as a blessing of the Lord. You know, it says in Ecclesiastes that it's a fulfillment of a human desire that we were created with to fulfill with work. Work, accomplishment. It gives you that sense that you were born with. Work is a good thing. Say that. Work is good.
Work is good.
Good. You got that, government?
Yeah.
Lyndon Baines Johnson back in 19... Listen, Kennedy had died in November of 63, and President Johnson took office, and in 1964 he started issuing a series of this legislation called the War on Poverty. Thus, we have the welfare state, and it created a fatherless generation. It fed gangs. It just produced everything wrong with this country. Well, yeah, I mean, you get fathers out of the picture. The devil loves that because he hates families. He hates fathers who are father. You know, the reason God called Abraham? Listen, you can read about this. I'm not sure where it is, but you can read it. He says, because I know that you would rule your family right. That's why he called him. Got that, Dad? You rule your family right, and God has things for you that you can't even imagine. Rule your family right. Relationship with God, spouse, children, work, and friendships outside in our community, friendships in our church, friendships in with your neighbors. You know, we need to influence our neighbors. We got some neighbors next to us that they've been living there for, what, 4 or 5 years now, and they've really just started opening up to us. And we're taking advantage of that. We're jumping all over it. Amen. See, God hasn't left us to guess about how to operate in these relationships at all. He's given us tremendous insight. And there's an order of things with God. God is a God of order. You know, it says, let everything be done decently and in order. Look at the Old Testament. I mean, look at Numbers. He is, boom, 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 boom. He's an order person. He likes order. But he still leaves that up to you because he's not a micromanager. You have the freedom to be blessed or to operate in your own strength. You have the freedom to believe God or doubt him. You have the free, all of that freedom, but he knows how it's going to turn out. God gives us clear direction on how to be a husband, a wife, a child, a father, a mother, all in the New Testament. You don't see much of it in the book of Acts because that is a record of the church progressing into the world. But you do see it in Paul's letters. Paul, who never married, Paul, who never had kids, his kids were the kids that he led to the Lord and he birthed into the kingdom of God through the gospel. Timothy was one of those. And there were many more. Titus was another one. But we need him. We need God centered in that relationship. You know why? Because even in relationships, husband, wife, what family, work, everything, without him, we can do nothing. He said that. That applies to marriage. That applies to being father and mother. That applies being a good worker. That applies to all relationships that you have. Without him, you can do nothing. But with him, you can do all things. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So take him in there. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. If you want a good relationship, everything begins with the Word of God. Amen. Amen. That's a good beginning. Yes. Is the Word of God. If we want to have a strong relationship, a productive one, a good place to begin is with the Word of God. Because the Word of God is the highest authority and it sets everything in order. And if you follow the Word, you cannot go wrong. You guys out there?
Yeah.
Good. Praise God. I almost fell asleep myself. But it says that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us as one of us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Relationships need to be filled with grace and truth, authored by God, influenced by God, balanced by the truth, and taken authority and given that authority with God in authority over it, full of grace. Grace is God's ability. I know it's unmerited favor and things like that, but there's a lot of other meanings in the New Testament that we can attribute to grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a good acronym. God's riches at Christ's expense, grace.
Amen.
And it doesn't stop there. That's only the door. The door is his grace. Paul said his grace is working in me mightily. It's his ability to pull us through those times that we can't get through in human strength. On human willpower. You can't do it. But when you give it to God. You know, there's a time in my life when the devil would come at me in a certain way. So I said to the Lord, I said, every time he does that, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to pray for you for something. And so I started recognizing, you can do this too. When temptation comes or a voice comes to you that wants to get you, and it's subtle, you really got to pay attention. It try to disguise it too. And before you know it, you're running with it. The thought, the desire, or whatever it is. And so when it started coming, I say, Lord, I pray right now for whatever. I pray, Father, for all the people in my church. I pray that no weapon formed against them will prosper according to your word. That great shall be the peace of my children, for their righteousness is of you. Thank you, Father, that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Start praying the word of God into that situation, and the devil doesn't even want to be around that. He doesn't want to hear that mess. He doesn't want to play in that because he recognizes where that comes from. It's from him, and he got whacked before. He's going to get whacked again. He doesn't want to be around it. You know, that we saw, did you see those words with the bullets coming out and scriptures on those bullets last week? That's the way the devil sees you when you start speaking the word of God. Believe it and speak it. The door to the supernatural power of God, the authority of God, the wisdom of God comes on two hinges. Believe it and speak it. Believe it and speak it. Boy, if I can drill that home, I'm going to knock that nail in real hard. And there's going to be those half moon hammer marks on that because believe it, speak it, believe it, speak it, believe it, speak it, believe it, speak it. The gavel in heaven has gone down and authorized you to speak his word and to expect it to come to pass. It is yours. He's already given it. He's issued that authority from heaven. Otherwise, you can just take this and tank it, throw it away. You know, if you don't take it all, why take some? Oh, we try so hard to confuse ourselves. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. And 1 John chapter 1, that's the letters in the back. It's not the Gospel of John, but it is the one of the letters. If you go to Revelation, then you turn back to Jude, then you turn back to John, 3 John, 2 John, and 1 John. You'll find it. It's in there. I found it. If I can find it, anybody can. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 says, that which was from the beginning. Who's that? That's Jesus. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father. Are we there? Eternal life, that's Jesus, the eternal life which was with the Father. And you know, eternal life, this reference, it goes just as far back as it does forward. That's the life that's in you. It's erased your past. It's erased it. Gone! That eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard, declare unto you that you also may have fellowship with fellowship. What is that? Fellowship with us, for truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We were made for this. We were made to fellowship with the Father. Next time the devil tells you, wait a second, do you have what it takes? It doesn't matter. Jesus did. I'm believing in him. The gates of heaven are open to me, the courts of God, the court of God where he can hear my case. It says, present yourself, argue your case. You know, that you might be justified, it says in Isaiah. State your case. You know, and we have, you know, people say, I'm going to storm the gates of heaven. Well, you know, if if the Jerusalem of heaven, if that is 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles, and assuming that the throne of God is in the middle of that thing, if you're out here somewhere in the gates of heaven, that puts you at least 750 miles away from the throne. Think about these stupid expressions that people use. And all the time it says, come boldly into the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Amen. God is open for business, folks. The problem is not with God. It's not that he's not speaking. We're not listening. We're not speaking. I was waiting for Marilyn. Thank you, Marilyn. We're waiting for that. You guys are awake. And with oh, if I had a hammer. No. That which we have seen and heard declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Jesus said that too in John 16. He said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you may have joy, and that your joy might be full. He doesn't speak to us to make us sorry. He doesn't speak at us to make us feel guilty. He doesn't speak to us for any other reason other than to help us be full of joy, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And we need plenty of strength in this world, don't we? Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I will. Yes. This then is the message we have heard of him and declare unto you. We hear from him, we declare to you. We hear from him, we declare to you. The church for too long has been hearing from the world and declaring to God everything that's wrong. And Jesus is at the right hand of the Father saying, well, what are you going to say about it?
Amen.
That's
good.
Has he licensed you to say?
Yes.
Has he licensed you to believe what you say?
Yes.
Did he say whosoever, whatsoever? Yes. Whosoever shall say, shall have whatsoever they say?
Amen.
Oh, I just feel like it's Father's Day and he wants to be a dad to us today. He wants to open up the courtrooms and say, hey, come on in. Have angels, get them a seat and just make sure they're happy. Just make sure they feel comfortable in my presence, because I love them. Oh, if we say we have fellowship and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You know what? Don't repeat the words of the devil. You're walking in darkness when you repeat the words of the devil. And don't think, now, this is spiritual law. When God says you have what you say, that works just in negative as well as positive. That works just in cursing as it does in blessing. You have the right to speak. You, unlike the angels, are a unique creation of God, because he has licensed you to choose your own words. We are the only ones that we know about in this universe who have been licensed to choose their own words. What a privilege to speak his word, to put our flesh away and not repeat what our flesh says, but to repeat what God says.
Amen.
And bring light into this. The word is light. The word is light and power and strength and glory and manifestation of his grace and power and light. Life, 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 life.
Yes.
That which we have heard of him declare unto you, that you may have what?
Life.
Fellowship. Fellowship. This is the fellowship of life, the fellowship of his life, Zoe, Zoe life. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from it. There is power in divine fellowship.
Amen.
It is cleansing power.
Yes.
Divine fellowship. That divine fellowship enables you to fellowship with others and bring them into the knowledge of who you fellowship with. Amen?
Yeah.
See, if God is the center, in the beginning was the Word, if God is the center of that relationship, then you know what? Everything else is going to fall in order. He said so. These things declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us, because our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We're not going to fellowship with the world. You can if you like. I mean, don't let me cramp your style. But don't miss out on what God has for you.
Amen.
You know what? As long as you are on this side of the grave, you have choices.
Yeah.
Use them. Use them wisely. There is power in divine or heavenly fellowship. First and foremost, our fellowship with God. Emphasize fellowship. You know, and I'm talking about fellowship versus relationship. You know, you can have a relationship. I mean, you do have a relationship with God if you're born again. You are his son, daughter. He is your father, right? But that doesn't mean you're in fellowship with him. What does that tell you? You're missing out on the benefits of your covenant with God. That New Testament is loaded with all kinds of power and benefits and blessings and everything that you need. It's there. Fellowship. They're two vastly different things, fellowship and relationship. That which we have seen and heard, declare unto you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father. Our first priority is fellowship with the Father and his Son. If we are in fellowship with the Lord, our other relationships will be properly balanced and all in line. How do I know that? Look at Proverbs 16:7. I rest my case. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Amen. You know that Philippian jailer? Put them in the inner prison, him and Silas, and put them in there and locked them up in the inner prison, inside the middle of it. Nobody could get to him. That night, that jailer was being baptized into the body of Christ. He was being water baptized. He accepted Jesus. He was saved with all his family. Even Paul's enemy. You know what? We really need to walk in that kind of faith in God that takes people's mistakes and says, Lord, I cover that. I cover that. In the name of Jesus. Jesus said this, but after he rose from the dead, he says, whoever sins you retain, they're retained. Whoever sins you remit, they are remitted. You have the power to break the power of sin over a person's soul. Wow.
Hallelujah.
And if in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who believe not, their minds are blinded. Just talking words to them, you're asking a blind man to see. They cannot see. But if you say, Lord, I loose your forgiveness upon that person. And you know what? There's reconciliation. All of a sudden, the blinders are off and now they can see that, yeah, you know, I may be wrong here. And all of a sudden, you wonder why they want to go to church that next Sunday morning. All of a sudden, you want to know why their husband or their wife just said, you know what, we've made mistakes here. Let's correct this. We're in the correction business. Amen. We are not in the accusation business. As soon as you accuse a brother, you are joining the accuser of the brethren. And you are not on the right side.
Hallelujah.
That's why Jesus said, judge not, lest you be judged. There's reasons for this. When a man's ways please the Lord, what pleases the Lord? Faith. That's what I just said. Lord, I break the power of that sin over that person. Lord, I break it. You have the power over sin. You don't have power over people, but you do have power over sin. You do have power over darkness. Get back here, Tom. Back here, Tom. Pleasing to the Lord. What is it? Don't be angry with your brother. It says that in Matthew. This is a Sermon on the Mount stuff. This is dead red. Man, this is red letter stuff. Don't be angry with your brother. If you give your gift and you realize that your brother has something against you, or you have something, if there's something wrong there, leave your gift there. Don't even think about giving to God if you're filled with angst against somebody. Just leave it there. Go get that straightened. Because you can't buy God's forgiveness. You can't buy God's involvement in your life through a tithe or through, you can't buy it. It's not a paycheck to him for favor.
Right.
He doesn't work for you.
Right.
But reconciliation, the things that he values and what pleases him is to see brothers walking together in unity, to see reconciliation, forgiveness, and love among the brethren. That to him, the world doesn't have that. And the world has wars, and the world has everything wrong with them because they won't abide in the truth. They won't go according to the word. They'll hold grudges and see how far that gets them. Reconciliation and mercy. That's what he's given you. You need to give it away. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. Either do they. Give it to them. That's what makes you sons of your Father. Walk in that light. Number two is their power and agreement. Matthew 18:19 says this. Again, I say unto you, that if any two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask of my Father. The reason for marriage is to enjoy the power that you have of agreement. The power of agreement. What? That's a whole teaching in and of itself. But Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? Amos 3:3. Write that one down. If things are going wrong, if you're going like this with your wife or your husband, you're just going around this thing, just stop it. Stop it! You know, counseling sessions could be a lot shorter if we just said, I'm going to say two words to you now, and these two words will change your life. Stop it! Stop it! Stop speaking the words of the devil. Stop thinking his thoughts. Stop feeling his feelings and whatever it is. Stop letting him rule you and start letting the peace of God rule you, because there's peace and life and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Righteousness, peace, and joy. And that's the kingdom of God. Praise God. And God says it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. There's power in agreement. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. This is where you men got to get involved here. This is where, likewise, you husbands. Oh, really? Yeah, really. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them, your wife, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You know, if you walk with your wife according to knowledge, what's that? Take it on a case-by-case basis. Know her strengths and weaknesses. Know her tendencies. Know her hot buttons. Guys, what are her hot buttons? Have you said something in the past that bothers her, where she doesn't talk to you for 2 days? Looks like I hit a button. Yeah. Bullseye. Okay. We've lost the meeting. Well, look, dwell with them according to knowledge. Understand that. Understand how she feels and what she feels. The weaker. Now, I'm not talking about women emotionally are probably a little more strong than men emotionally, because they always exercise their emotions.
Oh, that's not funny.
You're going to get it too. We're all in the same basket getting mixed up together here. Oh, yeah. You know, in high school now, there's this whole thing going around in our country where guys who think they're girls are competing in sports teams, and they are eliminating all these girls, excellent athletes, top of their sport, and they're being eliminated by these because they're different. They're stronger physically. Their muscle, everything about them is totally different. And there's legislation in favor of that. Are you kidding me? I mean, you got to have outside help to be that stupid. They're getting outside help. Lots of it, tons of it. Dwell Don't make fun of the fake president of the United States. What's the implication here in the scripture? 1 Peter 3:7. The implication is that if you dwell together with your life according to knowledge, your prayers won't be hindered. Guys, you want your prayers answered? You want power of agreement in your marriage? You want power in that thing? You want power in your prayers? So you can approach God with a whole heart, knowing that nothing is left out. Dwell with them according to knowledge. If something bothers them, don't bring it up. Pray for them. I'm speaking to myself as well. I mean, I can't help. She's looking at me. Let's wait till I get you home.
Oh, no, the car ride. It's the car ride.
It's the car ride home. Oh, the car ride home. That's where the devil steals a whole lot of seed. Yeah, don't want to drive off the road, guys. Be nice. And wives, don't start talking with your girlfriends over there and start husband bashing either. Because all of these things give inroads into the devil to destroy your marriage. Guys, girls, us all, we all got to get to this thing and say, look, I'm leaving it here. I'm walking away fixed. I'm walking away new. I have a new right spirit about this.
Amen.
It's happening. Now I decide. You decide. You speak it. You believe it.
Amen. That's right.
Getting anything out of this today?
Amen.
So there's divine power in heavenly fellowship. God-centered. There's power in agreement. God-centered. There's power in unity. We don't have this, John, but can you put up Psalm 133 and verse 1? Dun, 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 dun. Behold, or look, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. What's the next verse, John? It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard of Aaron's beard. Aaron was the high priest. The anointing flows when there's unity. The anointing of God flows when there's agreement.
Amen.
Unity, fellowship. It grows and it grows and it grows. The anointing is for a purpose, to give you something that you don't have without it. There's power in unity. Ephesians 4:3 says, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Then later down in verse 13, he says, till we all come in the unity of our faith. Look at the church. Are we in the unity? Well, the Bible didn't say that we will ever come into the unity of our doctrine. Hello. It said we come into the unity of our faith. Let's go back to 13, John. Till we all come in the unity of our faith and to knowing Jesus.
Amen.
Knowing your high priest, knowing the apostle and high priest of your confession, unto a perfect or a mature man, unto the measure of stature, the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. Stop trying to get everybody to agree with you. Just love them and say, Jesus is Lord, and fellowship around Jesus.
Amen.
It's amazing how the Spirit will do the rest. But we have this dogged determination to be right all the time rather than righteous. There's a big difference there. You may be right, but at whose expense? That was hot off the wire right there. There's a right standing and being a Pharisee are two different things. You can be right, but you can be wronger than the guy who's wrong Because his heart is right. Because he's righteous. Don't ask me to repeat that. I don't know if I can. If you are being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, and I'm not talking this, every wind of doctrine by sleight of men and cunning, this is not referring to false doctrine in the church. This is referring to a lot of other things like conspiracy theories and all of these things that try to take the word out of your and put the emphasis on them, that they are right, they know all the answers. No, they don't. Now, don't let me cramp your style. If you're into those conspiracy theories and QAnon and all that, don't let me cramp your style. But next time you need God's help and you need, instead of feeding your faith, you've been feeding on that stuff, I'm telling you something. If there's a family emergency or a child is hurting or sick or whatever, or you need help, you need your faith working. Amen. You need to feed that faith and keep it strong so that when it does happen, you're not stuck in some JFK is still alive. Rest my case. You need to feed your faith.
Amen.
And you need to walk in love.
Amen.
And you need to cast your hope on Jesus. And nothing else. Those things can't help you. It's like for these things have become idols to people, and idols don't talk, they don't hear, they don't feel, they don't do anything. But yet people believe in them. I remember on Sundays, you'd usually see this when everybody goes to church. When I was a kid, everyone went to church. And one certain denomination had a bunch of statues on their dashboard to keep them safe. As if God placed more value on that piece of plastic than on the person who's driving, who's a son and daughter of the living God. Idols don't talk. They don't do anything. They do nothing. And neither does conspiracy theories. And when you need God the most, you won't have the faith to be able to walk into his throne room and say, I receive this. But thank God for repentance.
Amen.
Thank God for repentance. You know, the moment that Job repented. And you know what? The judgment came on those three comforters. The judgment that was on Job. I'm going to teach on Job someday. I'm going to do that. You know, he went through a lot. It deserves some bringing out and how God, God's been blamed for that for way too long. We won't come into the unity of our doctrine. Don't try to be right and force everybody to agree with you. Don't do it. Be righteous. Walk with the Father and let God straighten them out. If it is them who need straightening out. Hello. Okay. So there is power in divine or heavenly fellowship with the Father and with others. Divine power in agreement. Here in the earth, there is divine power in unity. Let me say this, and I'll close with this. The unity of the Babylonian people was so powerful, it posed a threat to God's maturing of the ages. God said this in Genesis 11:6. Sorry, you still thinking about what I just said? Stay with me here, because I'm telling you something. Unity... Evil unity is powerful, and so is godly unity. But godly unity has the judge of all on our side. But it would have rushed the maturing of the ages. It would have happened too soon, because anything that they could conceive of, they could do. God said that in Genesis 11:6. What he had to do is interfere with their unity, their ability to come into unity. And so what he did, words travel through sound waves. God showed me this when I was in the shower one morning. I get revelation there. He just took the sound waves and went like this. And you know what? They couldn't understand a thing that they were saying. That's not when French, Latin, Spanish, German, and all that came to play. That was much later on. They just couldn't communicate anymore because the sound waves were all over the place. Words travel through sound waves. I wish I could tell you how I saw this. I just can't express it. It's one of those things you get And he shows you, because he said, "You want to know how that worked?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Here, how do words travel?" I said, "Sound waves." "Who made the sound waves?" "God." Have you ever tried to, you know, when there's a strong fan, get four or five fans in a room and you start and you talk to somebody and your words sound like three people are talking. Because the sound, you know, the sound travels differently when air moves differently. It's against the sound waves. Does it make sense? It'll make dollars too. Okay. Where's B? Okay, we've got to end here because it's way past our bedtime. So, say this, there's power in fellowship. God-centered fellowship. There is power in God-centered unity. There is power in God-centered agreement. And there is power. I may finish this up next week, but there's power in God-centered, our common faith. Our common faith. Let me just put a cap on this. Common faith is common faith. Paul told Titus, he said, "My son, who I've begotten in the common faith," he told him to do two things. He said, "I left you in Crete so that you could put everything in order." That's a lot. That's broad authority. And he said, I've called you and I've told you, I commanded you to, and appointed you to appoint elders in every city in Crete. What that common faith did for Titus was put him right up in an apostolic calling with the Apostle Paul. When Apostle Paul appointed him, he was giving him his authority. This is what the Bible teaches on delegated authority. Jesus said, "If they receive you, they receive me. And if they receive me, they receive him who sent me." The very Father elevated Titus to an apostolic calling to do what God. So when God commands you to do something, he's not saying, "Do that." He's lifting you up and he's commanding it upon you and anointing you to do it. Amen. God's commandments will empower you, not depower you. Father, thank you for your word. There's power in common faith.